Good morning and welcome to Newbury Baptist Church at 10. My name is Paul. I'm one of the members here. Our minister and his wife Richard and Fiona Littledale are currently on vacation in North Cornwall. And if the tweets are anything to go by, have a wonderful time. So we will pray for them later on as they are resting and enjoying a bit of peace and quiet. They'll be back next week and you'll see normal service is resumed. Before we start our service this morning, there's a couple of things for members. So people who are in membership here, there is a church members meeting which will take place at 11:30 in the hall behind. It's a very short meeting that's to deal with a matter concerning property, and we would ask that everybody who is able to will stay behind and participate in that meeting. If you are staying behind and participating in that meeting, please will you also sign in with Pat. Where's Pat? There's Pat. Sign in with Pat so that we know that we've got a quorum. That's the critical point. Is that right? Where's Luke? Luke, anything else? Done that. Good. Thank you very much. The other thing that that we have to talk about or think about this morning before we get into the service is birthdays, of which there are very many. Andy.
Too many to count, I think.
So too many birthdays to count. Whose birthday is it today? Your birthday today, Andy?
Not mine.
Not yours?
Not mine.
Who else?
Last week it was Nikki's. And Ben's.
Ben's. Angie.
Yeah.
Oh, there you are, Angie. Yes, excellent. Thank you. Cliff, is that your hand up there? Excellent. It's obviously that time of year. So, there's too many to count, but let's do happy birthday to all of those who are having birthdays. Happy birthday to everyone.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear everyone. Happy birthday to you.
Excellent. So before we start our service, before we get into our service, let's just still our hearts and speak to God in prayer. Father God, with all the busyness of the day, with all the busyness of the morning, we pray in the quietness, in the stillness, in the singing and the shouting and the energy and the running around, Father, that we would hear your voice speaking to us. Tell us what you want us to hear through this service today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and sing All My Days.
I will sing this song of gladness, give my praise to the fountain of delight. For in my helplessness you heard my cry, and waves of mercy poured down on my life. In the cross of my Redeemer, I will sing of the blood that never fails, of sins forgiven, of conscience cleansed, of death defeated and life without sin. Beautiful Savior, wonderful Counselor, in majesty, Lord of history, you're the way, the truth, the life, star of the morning, glorious in holiness, you're the risen ones, heaven's champion, and you reign over all. I long to be where the praise is never ending,
We're going to continue and sing, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. So glad you came to save us. You came from heaven. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on. Sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay from the cross to the grave. Your name on. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Will you take a seat? Now then, Richard has a story box and he has a science box. Is that right? Science box. I haven't got a science box. I've got a science bag. It's not quite as good as Richard's science box, but it's got some interesting things in it, and I'm going to need some help. And I'm going to need some help from everybody here today. So let's come and have a look and see what we've got in the science bag. What have we got in there?
String.
Yes. Have some string. Some string. Now, what do you think we can do with string? Whoa, what a great idea. Wrap someone up. Who should we wrap up?
You.
I think it should be you.
No.
You. Okay. Well, I'll tell you why we got some string. What I'm thinking about today, we've been looking over the last few weeks about prayer, haven't we? Do you remember? What did we look at last week? Do you remember the prayers that we looked at last week? Do you remember how they did that? As somebody came and they read a story, didn't they? What else happened the previous week? Do you remember the previous week? Richard had a big hand. Yeah. Do you remember that? Which is telling us how to pray. Yeah. Well, today we're going to look at why we pray. What we want to know today is who is in the middle of our church? Who's in the middle of our church?
Me.
God's in the middle of you. You. God, we got some good answers here. All right. Where is the middle of our church?
Me.
You. I don't think you're quite in the middle, but it's a good guess. Where's the middle of our church?
Uh-huh.
In our hearts. I like that answer. Where's the middle of our church, do you think? Who do you think's sitting in the middle of our church? How are we going to find out?
No.
Well, I'll tell you how we're going to find out. We're going to do the science bit. I need some tall men. James. Keith. Thank you. Now, what happened to that string? You got one? Will you give that one to Keith, and will you give that one to James? And in the end there should be an end that's in the middle there. You can find an end to this string. Now, would you like to take the end from James? Would you like to take the end from your dad? And go and hold it in the corner. You go and hold yours in the corner over there. You might have to stand on the table. You can go and stand over there in the corner. There you go. Now, if you take the balls of string, if the tall men take the balls of string to the other corner of the church, where the string crosses is going to be the middle of the church. Stand by, everybody, because you're going to get wrapped up in string too. Okay, guys, if you come stand up here with me, you should be able to see a bit better. Can you see where it's going? That's it. Well done. That's it. We're nearly there. Fantastic. So whereabouts is the chair that's under the middle of our church? Is it that one next to you, Anne? Who's the one behind you? Okay, it's the one behind Dot. Excellent. So now we know where the middle of our church is. Thank you, guys. With a string, I can just drop it, let people get all tied up. Now we know where the middle of our church is. But several of you gave a different answer to where the middle of the church was. Several of you said it's in our hearts. Well, the middle of our church really isn't that space over there. It's here, on the cross. And we've got lots of crosses in the church. There's one on top of the organ. There's one that appears on the big screen. There's crosses over there, lots of crosses. And when we pray, we connect ourselves to the cross. So what we're going to do, if I hit myself on the head with a cross, we're going to connect ourselves to the cross. And now I'm going to need some more help. Guys, can you help? Ribbons, that's right. Yeah. I need somebody who can help me because we're going to use drawing pins and stuff like that. So thanks, Andy. What we're doing is we're pinning one end of the streamer to the cross and the other end, everybody gets one. Try and get them out of the packet.
I'm not very tall though, is that all right?
He doesn't have to be tall. Okay. this one's about grovelling on the floor, mate. So, just one end and separate them out, and one end on the cross. Here is drawing pins. So everybody needs a streamer. Everybody needs a streamer. Let's get some more streamers out of here. And then what you need to do, different coloured ones. So what you need is a streamer. Everybody needs a streamer. And then you find the end, and we're going to pin it to the cross. There you go. Excellent. It is. It's going to get into a right muddle, isn't it? There you go. Another one for you, one for you. How are we doing? You got one? There you go. That's it. You need one? You need one? There you go. Anybody else need one? Here we go. Shiny one. Oh. There you go. Well done. Anybody else need one? Right. There we go. Find an end. Find an end. You broke that bit off, did you? Oh, dear. There we go. Find an end to it. That's all right. Doesn't matter. That's it. That's fine. I'm going to pin that end there because there's an end. And we'll pin that to the cross like that. like that. Where's your end? You got an end?
Yeah.
There's an end. Let's pin that one to the cross stick.
Okay.
Okay, you got an end. That's it. Bring me your ends. Bring me your ends. Lovely. That's it. Let's be careful with those pins. Yes. Trying to escape, isn't it? Yeah, you put that one down there as well, and we'll get two with one. Look at that. Okay, anybody else has got an end? End, an end. Here we go. Here's an end. There we go. There we go. An end here. Lots of ends. Well done. There's an end. There's an end. That's it. Lovely. Another end. We've got an end. Oh, you got a lovely handful there, haven't you? What? Any more ends? Yeah. Okay. There you go. Oops. Yeah, superb. Thanks, Pete. Okay. Now, when your end is pinned on, you need to go and stretch it out as far as you can without breaking it. How far can you get? Without breaking it. There we go. Let's do that. Okay. Yeah, oh, you, look at that. Wonderful. That's, you got an end down here. You just slid it out, did it? That's fine. Thanks, Sue.
Mine broke.
Did it? Okay.
Mine is broken.
Yours is broken, is it? That's fine. That's it. Where's the new one? That's it. Yeah. Lovely. Superb. How you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. There we go. Look at that. That's it. How are we doing? Good. Oh, yours. Oh, we got to bring you up because there's one that's all around your feet. There we go. That's. Look at that. Look at that. Superb. How are you doing? Look at that. You're going a long way away. Excellent. Oh. And do you know what? They keep breaking, don't they? The more we tuck them in, they keep breaking. And that's a bit like our prayers. When we pray, we're connected to Jesus on the cross. But other people get in the way. Or we go a little bit too far. Or we pull a little bit too tight. And it breaks. But you know, the fantastic thing about Jesus and the cross is that there's always more drawing pins. You can always come back. It doesn't matter how many times it breaks. We keep coming back to the cross. Now, I'd like you guys to take those streamers away with you and remember that when you pray, you're connecting you to Jesus on the cross. There we go. I just want to pick up that drawing pin so no one treads on it. Lovely, thanks, sir. Thank you. Let's see if we can lift the cross up, shall we? There we go. Look, that's it. Yours is not attached on. That's right. You hang on to the streamer. There you go. Well done. Yeah, look at that. Look at that. There's still some people connected, but there's a lot of people who aren't. When we pray, we connect ourselves to Jesus on the cross. Well done, guys. Go back and sit down. Yes, yes. Well done. Well done. I'm going to put that there because then we'll remember. When we pray, we connect ourselves to Jesus on the cross. That's it. Well done. So when you go out to your classes and you're praying, remember that that's what you're doing. You're connecting yourself to Jesus. And if you forget to pray or your connection gets broken, it doesn't matter how many times. You can always come back and reconnect just through prayer. Let's say a prayer before you guys go away. Father God, we thank you for all these lovely young people. We thank you for the commitment of their teachers and leaders, showing them the way to engaging with you in a real and meaningful way. Father, we pray for them as they go to their classes, that they'll have fun, that they'll have a learning time, and that they will really meet with you in that time together. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Okay, guys, you're off. Yeah, good.
Okay, let's stand and sing. We're going to sing to God be the glory. For the cross, Lord, thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace.
Victoria, high and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross.
Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne, we crown you now with many crowns, you reign victorious, high and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
God, we thank you for all the gifts that you have given to us. We thank you for the gifts of talents, of skills, of time, of money, of insights and understandings, the gift of freedom to come and worship you. Father, we offer tokens of your love to us in money, but in all of the things that we have and are. And we pray that you will use them for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Jackie.
Psalm 8 and what it means to me. My love of creation has grown in recent years due to my love of wildlife and nature. I can relate much in Psalm 8 to this. I especially like verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. As an imaginative, creative person, I'm constantly reminded of those words, especially the work of God's fingers creating the world. And then verses 7 and 8, which are also so reminders of his creation. All flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds of the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swims the paths of the seas. From above the mountains in the skies to beneath the seas and beyond, the Lord has covered the earth with his love. Through Psalm 8, many times, God has reminded me of the sights of creation from the smallest to the largest. I walk every day, often with camera in hand, and I usually find that God-given image, whether small or large. Just last weekend, I came across some ducklings on the edge of the canal, and yesterday, the beauty of my own garden drew my eye. Not forgetting, of course, the awesome beauty of the skies above us, especially driving out into the country or over the hills or even on train journeys. I admire his beauty in the skies every single day, and I find that beauty in Psalm 8. So, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. What is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honour. You have made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swims the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Father, we uphold before you Cindy, who has been really not well at all this week. And we pray for him that your healing hand will be upon him. We pray for Fiona, struggling with the disease which is eating her up. We pray, Father, that you will continue to work your power in her life through the power of your Holy Spirit. The examples that she represents to us all, the love and the energy and the care that she shows for us all. Father, we uphold before you all of those of us from within the fellowship and beyond who are in need, who are sick, who are sick in body or in mind, in spirit. Father, we just pray that through the power of your love, through the things that you have shown to us, to the things that you have shared with us, you will reach out and you'll make us instruments of your love. Father, as we think of our community and all of the big changes that are going on here, the new construction work, the changes that are being wrought through the middle of our town, the challenges, the economic challenges, as well as the employment challenges that there are in this place. For those who are struggling with homelessness, for those who are struggling with finding enough money to feed their families, we pray, Father, show us what it is you want us to do. How can we be your salt and light in this wider community? And for the leaders of this world, Father, those who are struggling with challenges of how to make trade deals between countries, of how to form relationships, how to stop wars, how to make sure there's enough for everybody to go around without being greedy. Lord, the leaders are appointed by you. We know that you will hold them accountable, but you are also holding them in your hands. Father, lead them in their thinking and in their actions, we pray. And finally, Lord, for us as individuals, you know what we need. You know the inner workings of our hearts. We pray, Father, teach us what it is you want us to know. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life. I'm in that place once again. I'm in that place once again. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my heart. And now you are exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now, I marvel at the saving grace. I'm full of praise once again. I'm full of praise once again, once again. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you, once again I pour out my life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Sing, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend.
The reading is from Luke chapter 23, the section entitled Jesus' Death, and the single verse 46. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he'd said this, he breathed his last.
When I sat down to actually start looking at this and realizing that what I'd been given to preach on is one verse, there's nowhere to hide when all you've got is one verse. And I really thought, this isn't going to be a very long sermon, because what is there to say about this one verse? I also reflected that, I don't know if you remember, but believe me, I remember, that the last time I stood up to preach in this church was almost exactly a year ago. That's amazing. It seems like only yesterday, and yet it seems 15 years ago. The amount of things that have happened and the changes that we've seen is incredible. God's hand at work in us as a church community. And I thank God that I haven't had to preach for a whole year. And I'm sure you do too. However, one verse. But what a verse. What an incredible verse. This is Jesus praying on the cross. We've been looking at a series of how people in Bible pray, and this is the last of a mini bit of three, which are looking at how Jesus prays. Okay, Jesus, last week we looked at Jesus praying for the disciples and for the rest of the world. Previously we looked at the Lord's Prayer and how Jesus taught the disciples and indeed us to pray. But this is Jesus's prayer. This is Jesus's prayer, and it ends in this verse. And after he'd said it, he breathed his last. This is the moment. This is the moment when everything changed forever. Before this moment, Jesus is alive. After this moment, Jesus has died. All the time that Jesus is alive, the promise that God made, not just to the Jews and the Israelites, but to mankind, that he would reconcile himself with mankind, is just that. It's a promise. But in this moment on the cross, everything changes because now Jesus has died. And we're into the next part of the story of forever. There is no going back. Jesus' life has been forfeited for the sin of the world, and there is no more sin that binds us. Everything changed at that nexus point in history. I tried thinking about the middle of things, but it's not the middle. It's actually much closer to the end of things as we know them than you would think. It's only 2,000 years ago. Historically, if you look at what's going on at the time in Palestine, where the Roman occupation has been there for a number of years, the Jews had many different uprisings. They tried and tried to overthrow the Romans, and there was lots of violent behavior, and there were many sects who came and started to foment revolution and change the way that that Palestine was run, and they all failed because they were all violent. And they all ended violently. The Romans were really good at violent death. And whichever way you cut it, the cross is a violent death. But this one was different. This one was different. Understanding why it was different and how it was different was really important, is really important to us. As I said earlier, it's been a year since I stood here and preached. And in fact, the last time I preached, we were at the end of the series on Daniel. But the previous series that we did before that, we spent a whole year, I think it was, looking at Acts. Which, if you like, Acts is the second book of Luke. We're in Luke's gospel, and we have to remember what Luke's gospel tells us. Luke is different from the other two synoptic gospel writers. You know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels. Matthew was almost certainly a disciple of Jesus, so he certainly knew Jesus during Jesus' life. Mark was a convert from the disciples, so Mark probably knew Jesus when Jesus was preaching, but also had become a convert to Christianity as a result of one of the people who had met Jesus. Luke was a convert of Paul, who only met Jesus after his death and resurrection on the road to Emmaus. So you've got to remember that Luke is in a somewhat different position. And you've got to read Luke's two books side by side. If you only read Luke the Gospel or you only read Acts, they're kind of a bit disjointed. Luke almost certainly was paid to write this book, and he was probably paid by a wealthy Roman or a wealthy Greek to explain what this Christianity was all about. So that's what Luke's books are really trying to tell us. And Luke really starts from the roots. If you look at the beginning of Matthew, Matthew's gospel starts with the genealogy of Jesus. Right? So Matthew goes all the way back to Abraham to show that Jesus was of the line of David and to show that he was part of the Jewish family, part of the Jewish history, so that he had a right to be king as part of the Jewish continuum. Luke goes further back. If you look at the beginning of Luke, in fact, the very beginning of Luke, Luke chapter 1, Luke talks about a voice being told. Luke in his first chapter talks about Elizabeth being told that she's going to have John the Baptist. Okay, if you've been listening to the series that Richard has been preaching, you will remember that a number of weeks ago, 5 or 6 weeks ago, he talked about a woman who prayed with abandon and was abandoning her problems in prayer. And that woman was Hannah, and she was the mother of Samuel. And Samuel's job in the book of Samuel is to anoint David, the king. And in the book of Luke, Luke starts with John the Baptist, whose job is to baptize Jesus, the king. So Luke is telling us that there is history here, that this is what has been foretold, that this is the way that it's going to be, and that the Jews should expect that. However, Luke realizes that that's not enough. So he goes even further back, and he does in chapter 3 of Luke, in Luke's gospel. He does in chapter 3 what Matthew doesn't do. He takes Jesus' lineage back to Adam and Eve. So he demonstrates that Jesus is for everybody, not just for the Jews. Okay? So now you've got to position yourself as a Roman in first century Palestine, understanding the story of the Jewish history so that you can position Jesus within that context. And Luke is demonstrating right the way through the scripture that that's what Jesus is. Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise that God made not just to the Jews, but that God made to mankind, that we would be reconciled with God. And so then we come right the way through to the cross, the prayer on the cross. And when I started to look at this, I looked at it and I thought, there's a couple of things that are really kind of curious here. Jesus is communing with God, right? On the cross. And when you or I, when I commune with God, I tend not to shout in a loud voice. I tend to pray quietly. We know that Jesus communed with God the whole time. And yet, in this verse, we are told Jesus cried out in a loud voice. So I was kind of puzzled by that. Why did Jesus cry out in a loud voice? Why do I stand here and use a loud voice? It's not for my benefit, it's so that you can hear me. And the logic says that Jesus cried out from the cross in a loud voice, not because he needed to speak to his Father, but because he wanted to leave a message with his friends. This is the last thing that he's going to say to them on earth before his resurrection. You know, a few years ago, I was asked to give a speech at the United Nations, at the headquarters of the United Nations in Washington, not the one in New York, but in Washington. And it was all about the use of technology in emerging economies and how emerging economies were being accelerated through the development of communications technology. It was very, very dull, believe me. People have died of boredom in my speeches at work. But the speech was quite important, and there were quite a few important people from various different countries there. And I spent quite a lot of time thinking about it. Jesus knew that he was going to be crucified from the time that he was baptized in the Jordan by John. It's very clear in the gospel that Jesus understood what his mission on earth was and that it was to end in death. He may not have known that it was going to end in death on the cross, but he knew that it was going to end in death. Look, bring this all the way up to the point of the crucifixion. Jesus has known all the way along. In the Garden of Gethsemane, they just had the Last Supper. In the Last Supper, Jesus knew that Judas was going to go out and betray him, and he knew the consequences of that. He absolutely knew what was going on. And then they all went off to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed. You know your geography. I'm sure you're all right up to date with where Gethsemane is. It's outside the city wall in Jerusalem. You go down into the valley between the Mount of Olives and Jerusalem. It was dark. It was night. We know that. Jesus moved himself away from everybody else to pray. He could have just kept on walking. He'd have been over the Mount of Olives before anybody knew it. It's actually not that far. In less than an hour, you'd have been over the top of the Mount of Olives from the Garden of Gethsemane and away into the Jordan Valley, and they wouldn't have found him. Jesus didn't do it. Jesus knew what he was there for. He understood why he was going to have to die. He maybe even at that point didn't know he was going to be crucified, but at the end of it, he knew that that's what this was about and that he would have one last shot at explaining to everybody what this was all about. Why did we do this? And so the prayer that we've read, Jesus on the cross, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. What does that mean to you? What else did you hear? You only heard those words. And why? Because we live in 21st century United Kingdom. If you'd lived in first century Palestine and knew you were a Jew, you'd have known the rest of the sentence. You just would have done. Okay, if I say to you, it is a dead parrot, most of you will know the rest of that sentence. If I say to you, L'Oreal, it's because you're worth it. You know the rest of the sentence. If I say, we will fight them on the beaches, you know the rest of the sentence, okay? And in first century Palestine, they knew. The rest of that sentence comes from Psalm 31, verses 5 and 6. Pete, can we have it on the screen? The same words that Jesus cries out on the cross. Now remember, Luke was an outsider. Luke wasn't there. Luke had to learn about what Jesus did and what Jesus said secondhand. So he did his investigation. And we know, again, Luke was probably paid for this, so he would have worked hard at it. We call him Dr. Luke because he's very forensic in the way he looks at things. He does his research. He looks to understand exactly what went on. If you look at the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll find that there are a series of commonalities between them. We know that there was common documentation. In fact, probably Mark was written first, and Matthew and Luke drew some of their material from Mark, so there's a lot of similarities. We also know that there was another document, which is known as Q, or series of documents, which are known as Q, that we haven't found. However, those similarities reflect back through Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But when you get to the crucifixion narrative, when you get to the death and resurrection narrative, there's not a lot of commonality between them, because we know that there is not a lot of content that is detailed. John gives us a much better picture of the crucifixion. So John spends a lot more time focusing on exactly what happened. However, in this case, Luke will have interviewed a lot of people to find out exactly what did Jesus say on the cross, and he reported it. And he cried out in a loud voice, this, into your hands I commit my spirit. Because everybody would have heard, deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. As for me, I trust the Lord. That's what they heard. Not just the bit that we get to see recorded in Luke. That's the bit that Jesus had time to say in order that everybody else heard the whole lot. Because the death of Christ on the cross is not a tragedy. The death of Christ on the cross is a victory. Jesus is shouting in a loud voice because he wants everyone to hear. We've done this. Sin has been conquered. Sin has been conquered forever. And so the point that we're reading here in Luke's gospel is that nexus point of change. When we talk with the children about connecting via prayer to the cross, the prayer of Jesus on the cross is one of conquest in what looks like and feels like a disastrous situation. Remember, at the beginning of Acts, all of the disciples are in one room, in a locked room, fearing for their lives. If you look at history, the previous revolutionaries who had tried to set out to overthrow the Roman invaders, the Jewish revolutionaries who had tried to overthrow the Roman invaders, had all ended up in the same way. They'd been crucified. That was how the Romans dealt with it. And it was about a threat. But more than that, the Romans then went and rounded up all of the followers and crucified them too, just in case. So the disciples had reason to lock the door. They had reason to be afraid. But this was a different victory. Not failure, but victory. Jesus knew that the only way sin could be overcome was through death on the cross. And that was the way that he won a victory. And it was because of that, when he cries out, into your hands I commit my spirit, deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. Now, idolatry is the sin that most people suffer from. Things that get between us and the cross. Things that break that connection via prayer to the cross. It's idolatry, it's other things, it's other people, it's other stuff that gets in the way. abdicating our responsibility as God's people to worship him and put him in the highest place in our lives. That's a sin of idolatry. It's not a sin of omission. It's not a sin of commission. We allow others to position Jesus, not us to position Jesus. So Jesus is sending a message not only to the disciples, but also to us. It is done. There is nothing else left. The world has changed forever because of the cross, because of Jesus' willingness to see his own death as a victory. This is not a prayer of anguish. This is a prayer of triumph. And he knows that the Lord, his faithful God, is going to deliver him through this. And that's what he's trying to tell us through this passage. That's what Luke wants us to understand. That's what we need to take away from this. And just as we discussed with the children, if that link between you and the cross breaks, there's always a route back. We can keep coming back and pinning it back. We can keep on connecting back to the cross. All you got to do is pray. And if the only prayer you've got is help, then that's good enough. Because what you're doing is connecting yourself back to the cross of Christ. So when we pray, when we look at how Jesus prayed, this was not a prayer of, oh no, what am I going to do? Or, oh no, it's all finished in disaster. This was a prayer of, I know it's done. I know it's completed, and my mission is complete and successful. We're done here. Can move on to the next thing. And the rest of eternity is allowing us into the presence of God because Jesus has won the victory. Amen.
We're going to finish this morning by standing and singing I Stand Amazed in the Presence. Let's stand, shall we?
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous! How marvelous! How wonderful! And my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with a ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see, joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. I'm up. And how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. And how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Singing how marvelous. Savior's love for me. Just the voices. We're singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my soul shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful. is my Saviour's love for me.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be on us and remain with us, now and forevermore. Amen.